Thanks for listening.
Bad songwriting. One day, I was smoking strange. When I met a penguin, goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. Oh, that deranged penguin. For an Antarctic bird, he should talk fast. Oh, that deranged penguin. He made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show. It's the Deranged Penguin Podcast. We're just going to jump right into it today.
Whoa.
Instead of fiddling around with Brad's mic. Brad sounds terrible. He sounds like he's talking to us via a fan, you know?
He sounds like he has three kids or something.
Yeah, I mean,
no butter dinner.
All the excuses. Yeah.
All rocks.
I can't believe it's not.
Yeah, it sounds like that. It sounds like you've been yelling all week, you know, and you're trying to talk. Like, and that's fine. That's fine. It's about time nature took you down a peg, you know?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
There has been a lot of yelling. I mean,
yeah, as I said, it's a Deranged Penguin Podcast. With us, as usual, Mr. Dale. How you doing there? Representing Mississippi.
Could you say usual?
I'm good.
That's
whatever.
Last week,
frequently.
I won't go deepy time. I do won't be.
I
on
went to bed. It was awesome.
So were you under the weather?
New member of the show, something. Brad. How you doing, Brad? Representing Arkansas. It's like an archangel, just Arkansas. How you doing?
That's just terrible. I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. Yeah. That, not so okay, though.
And representing Idaho.
What?
Gina, how you doing?
I'm not representing.
You represented all of Idaho.
Love Idaho.
Yeah. You guys.
Like, one time in Idaho,
sick
we
of
had
it.
A potato plant.
I'm pretty sure
and,
never said that.
So you know, like in Spain, they do
I
that.
I used to
that tomato
shoot
thing.
My potato gun,
right?
And
they,
I used
they
to
do that there
potatoes,
in Idaho.
And
they
I used
have
to mash potatoes.
Yeah. Less messy.
Gina's told us all
used
about
to
it.
More
potatoes.
Knockouts. More knockouts.
I used to French fry potatoes.
And yours truly representing San Antonio. Sam Malonio, for those of you listening on the radio, thanks for tuning in, which means just hitting play. You're not even tuning in. It's not really the same thing. Tuning's an old word. We just migrated it over. Like a lot of things, it doesn't really work. I think the word for writing means like carve. Stupid. People are dumb. Everything's stupid. This week on the show,
Adam's in a bad mood.
I'm not in a bad mood.
Surprise, surprise. Krusty Adam.
Football team got destroyed by a real football team.
No, you know what? That Gina just.
And they ended up having to take out the opponent's quarterback, destroy his career, too, because they lost a football game.
Look, Del knows because he will have been an alum, you know, once he completes his dissertation. Was that you scheduled in 12 years? Del knows. Yeah. North Texas motto is, if you can't beat them, hurt them, right? So that's what we do. That's what we do there. Can't beat them, hurt them. So we took out that dude's knee, and that's fine. He didn't mean it, but all the Florida fans, including the coach, thought that we meant it. And that, you know, that's fine. Gina just stepped away for a second right now, and she did break my heart just a little bit. She said, Florida's like a real school, huh? And I was like, oh, you fucking bitch. God damn. but yeah, I mean, you know. They're nationally
it is.
Relevant.
It's not like a directional school. There's something to do.
Again, Southern Miss is a school that are pretty good, you know, like Southern Cal, right? As I'm saying, we were having this conversation before we started, Dell. Brad thinks the center of the universe is Starkville, Mississippi for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't think the center of the universe is Starkville, Mississippi. I mean, Starkville, Mississippi is a podunk piece of shit town.
Oh,
I
dang.
Like Mississippi State.
Except you don't call them Mississippi State. You call them State. And you confuse the hell out of me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that shouldn't be that confusing for you.
Well, it's not, but it takes me half a second.
How do you know me? No. And the lack of a state in your state.
Again, you live in Arkansas now. You say state, that means Arkansas State. Dell,
that's not a real school.
The Red Wolves. You know, we had an alumnus. God, I'm terrible. An alumnus on the show from Arkansas State. The Angry Czech. And you just insulted him right now.
I know.
You just insulted the hell out of him right now. God, you're the worst.
Well, I mean, I hate it for you, Angry Czech.
Dell sucks it in a real school. I've never been to a real school, so.
Dell hasn't been to a real school ever. Let me tell you, just because you married somebody who went to Georgia, that don't mean nothing, right? you don't get married into the SEC money. It's not how any of this works. Just because you move to the shadow of the Walmart, shadow of the Arkansas, Brett Bielema, you know, whatever. It doesn't count.
Yeah, well, that guy's got a big-ass shadow, so.
Yeah, I know. Are you working on that, too? You're like, hey, I'm down here. Let me get the Bielema bod. Is that what you're doing?
I am. I'm intentionally eating way more than I should.
Aren't we? That's the American way.
Yeah.
So when Gene gets back, she, like I said, she stepped away. We're going to talk about breastfeeding. That's something that all three of us dudes are familiar with.
My favorite subject.
Sweet. We're going to talk a little bit about Colin Kaepernick. This dude out here kneeling. We can talk about that a little bit. And other things that come up in the way of conversation here on the Deranged Penguin podcast.
But in the meantime, I haven't seen Dylan forever. Dylan, what have you been up to?
I've been starting teaching and working. Like, everything for me just started all of a sudden right at the same time. And I've been really tired. Not as tired as you probably, but it's been an adjustment back to working life.
I think stress tired is more tired than staying up late and rocking your kid to sleep tired.
Maybe. I don't know.
But I can tell you from experience. Tell you right
now. Yeah, I mean, I feel like it is.
But stress tired is worse? Yes, it is. I just said that.
I think stress tired is worse.
Yeah. I mean, your kid, you can stay up late. You ain't doing anything. You have a glow also. You know, you feel like, oh, look at me taking care of my progeny.
Sure, so I don't have a glow.
I think that dulls by the 17th child.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, double digits, that glow. Tarnished. No good.
Yeah.
But I've been good, man. Otherwise, how have you been?
Don't ask him, Dad. He's gonna tell you.
Yeah. That was an awesome way that the computer decided to process that.
I'm telling you, Brad has the worst connection. It makes sense.
He's in Arkansas, man. They don't. They barely have internet there. Yeah.
They just got it. Just dial up. You on dial up right now?
It's not going to go well.
It's pausing and frequently stopping right now.
Yeah,
you know what? Maybe it'll make Brad's jokes funnier.
We were having problems with it like all weekend.
Okay, so Gina's back.
I'm back.
That's you.
Hey, Gina.
Hey, guys.
So you wanted to bore us to death or something? That's what Dell said. He was like, I saw this on the topic sheet and I was bored.
Dang.
I immediately booked the room.
This is my opportunity to educate you guys. I'm going to turn it into Women's Hour and talk about this for the next 45 minutes. Not an actual hour. A Women's Hour. I've been back to work, and today was like my fourth day in the office. And so since I am breastfeeding, I am pumping at the office, and getting the hang of that has been ridiculous. I'll be dramatic for a second because I'm sure it's not that bad and I have a lot of things to appreciate. Like, at my office, I have a place to go and pump. They have women's rooms. They have two of them. And I have the equipment that I need to do what I need to do. But it just sucks. I'm super busy and I have to step away from my desk 3 times a day for 30 minutes at a time. I have to hike to basically the opposite end of our building to go to this room and set up. And then I'm still trying to work simultaneously. And it's really weird. It's like the weirdest thing. And I didn't think about it, you know, before I had a kid, that I was going to be doing this one day in my office while I'm like typing to my coworkers. It's just a really strange experience and super time consuming. And I'm glad I can do it. I'm getting the hang of it. Again, I'm only a week into doing it in the workplace, but it's also kind of awful.
And I hate it. Didn't some like other coworkers give you any pointers about this?
Like, yeah, I tried to talk to one, yeah, who also had a kid recently and is doing the same thing. So she tried to share what she had learned so far. And I don't know, I think you just kind of have to get the hang of it yourself. But it's weird.
Yeah. You should have practiced by doing schoolwork and writing papers and emails at home without clothes on.
Yeah.
What do you feel like the hang is that you're trying to get? I mean, is it like the act of,
I guess,
working
getting it down?
Pumping?
Yeah, like getting the whole thing down to as efficient a process as possible. I'm trying to get down like my timing, and you know, people are talking to you at the same time that it's like time for you to go to this room, and other women also schedule this room, so there's no leeway around the windows that I have it scheduled for, so I have to get there in that time. Otherwise, if I show up like 10 minutes later, I'm only gonna have like 10 minutes to do this, and it takes at least 20 minutes to get the amount that I need, and I'm trying to replace the amount that the baby's drinking while I'm away,
so it takes
three very successful sessions to make what she's consuming, and it's really hard. It's crazy.
So like does the stress have an effect on you? Like,
it does. You have to like get in the zone when you get there. You have to relax. You have to look at pictures of your baby to like get your milk to let down. Yeah, you have to get inspired to make milk again.
Really?
It's crazy. Yeah. I mean, it's there anyway, your body's producing it, but
sure.
Seeing your kid like releases the hormones. It. Yeah.
Yeah, we're watching Catastrophe, right?
So I'm like working and then trying to glance at a picture of the kid, and I'm like, think happy thoughts. Think of the baby. Think of the baby.
While people are bothering you about work related things.
And answering questions. No, stupid. Think of the baby.
So we were watching Catastrophe, and she made a joke about how she saw a baby as she was going up the elevator, and she's like, oh, now I'm leaking, or my breasts are full.
Yeah.
You told me, I sent you like a sound clip on, you know, like,
yeah,
you
on the phone, how you can like record a bit of sound. And I was listening to it when I was driving, of her like talking or gooing and stuff. And then, yeah, I was like, oh, boobs are full.
That's ready to feed. Yeah. I've learned so much by podcasting with you, pregnant and new parents.
Yes. We are a wealth of information. For all you guys out there, if you have a woman in your life who's going to have kids, or you are thinking about having a baby together, I encourage you to get her all the gear that she wants, because it's all helpful. Like, get the best nursing bras, like quick access, and the best pump that's like super effective and powerful but quiet, because some of them are like extra noisy and some of them are quieter, and sometimes I've had to take a call while I'm using it.
That would be fun.
Yeah, so I got like the hospital grade one that's supposedly one of the quieter ones. You could still hear it, but
do you get the symphony?
No, it's a I can't even think of what it's called right now. Give me a second on that. But
I saw somebody, so
I don't think that's what
Texas
it is.
Texas went to California, right, and played a college football game there. And a couple of people I follow are Texas fans or write for Texas blogs or whatever. And I saw them tweeting, like, look at this, California, what is this? And it was like a picture of like a breastfeeding kind of enclosure at the stadium. And I was like, we should have that.
That looks awesome.
Yeah, because after going to the North Texas game, Gina – there's not a place for to breastfeed there, right? And you know, we just kind of had to go into a corner someplace, and
it's like, a Spectra.
Yeah, Spectra.
That's what I have.
Go into a corner someplace that was like not traffic.
Yeah, you start scouting places now for. I mean, of course, if you don't care, you can just whip it out wherever, right? But you want a place that's at least a little bit private, especially if you have a kid who doesn't like being covered, which apparently some of them come like that. we got one of those. So.
I mean, especially if you had like a football game where there's, you know, 20, 30,000 people there, there's going to be a creeper just kind of just peeking. And that's just weird. You know what I mean? That just, yeah, I don't want that.
And I don't know how you could be upset about like a breastfeeding room too. Like, who goes and is like, oh man, I hate a room with a lot of titties in it. Like, who's so upset about that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, so I saw that there, and I got it, and I tweeted at the North Texas president and the new athletic director. I was like, yay, hey, guys, we need one of these at Apogee Stadium, because I know at least one my wife would appreciate it, and a couple of the people that follow me that I know have children or are about to have some children are like, oh, yeah, definitely.
Totes.
So, so there you go, athletic directors of America, put a breastfeeding station, more than one. Hopefully, at your stadium, you know, help attendance a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shit.
Our child is calling right now. I mean,
they're
cathedrals.
It's not like they're tiny.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. There's room for it.
It's just like anything, you know? Like, you don't know what college is going to be like until you get to college, you know? You don't know what anything is going to be like until you get in there and you can see the details. I mean, you have the broad strokes. Oh, you got to take care of your kid. But the actual details of, you know, day-to-day things are interesting. And that's one of them. I mean, you know, obviously it's not a thing I have to care about outside of caring about my wife caring about it.
Right, exactly. Because you got to care about it.
Or else they kick your ass.
Or you're going to have other problems in your life.
I mean, like right now, Brad is podcasting while rocking his kid with his foot.
Yeah, that's right.
So there you go. Dell, don't do it.
Yeah, she was not interested in sleeping.
It's awesome. I mean, it's really great, but it's just, you know.
What are you gonna do?
Every time we don't do a show, she sleeps for like an hour at the exact time that we want to do the show.
She's laughing at you right now.
I'm like, yes, she's do that like, Monday.
I'll tell you the other thing that is stupid.
Gotcha.
And that I hate it. Is that my kid smiles at me and it makes me laugh. Like, she'll just, like, it was like last night, it was like 1 a.m. We were trying to go to sleep, and then she just like laying in the bed looking at us like with the biggest fucking grin that you ever did see.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you laughing at? And then she just like laughing again and it made me laugh. And so there I was like a crazy person laughing at 1 a.m. with my kid who's 4 months, can't even understand
over
English.
Nothing.
Yeah, we're just laughing at each other. Like, I was like belly laughing because it was hilarious. There you go. I hate that because it's a trick just to make you care about her. That's all it is.
It's also really frustrating later in life when she like willfully disobeys or fucks shit up, and then she laughs about it, and you're like, it actually is pretty funny, but I want to discipline you too, you know? Because like, I have a lot of trouble laughing at the worst possible time.
Yeah, I'm sure that'll
what
happen.
What the fuck, man? God. So there you go. That's really cool. Let's talk a little bit about this Colin Kaepernick. I've been jokingly saying Kaepernick, but now I can't say it any other way.
How are you supposed to say it?
Just Kaepernick, right?
Kaepernick, yeah.
Yeah, so this dude is he's kneeling. He was sitting, but now he's kneeling during the national anthem as a protest gesture.
Yes.
You know, saying that basically, hey, these things that we're singing about and that we're honoring here are not applied equally to everybody here in this good country of ours. So therefore, I'm going to make a little motion, do a little protest. And everybody has an opinion on it. And I think most hilariously and most scarily, like the police, some of the police unions here and there have been ridiculous about it. And I think illustrate his point. More so, including was it the Dolphins? Their police union were like, "We're not going to escort these players to and fro unless they stand for the national anthem." And
Which
I was like,
"Insane!
Could you imagine anybody else?" I think was it you that said this? That it was like firefighters, like, "We're not going to put your fire out unless you stand for the national." It's like, what are you
I
doing?
I didn't say that, but basically,
yeah,
that
what
is
you,
what they're doing.
Yeah. So I think it's stupid. I mean, you can see where I stand.
We don't like your opinion, so we're not going to protect you.
Yeah, it's like, that's...
Oh, okay, cool. You can do that?
You're kind of illustrating a point that maybe everybody here is not getting their dosage of rights like they should be getting here. So I have no problem with it. I don't know where you end it, though. I feel like it would lose its power after a while. But wouldn't that kind of illustrate the ridiculousness of standing for the national anthem in front of right before we do a little football game, right? It was a gesture made in the 40s, and then we've been doing it ever since, just kind of in front of everything. Anytime we get two or more people together, like, all right, I guess we got a Pledge of Allegiance and fucking do a song and probably add God Bless America, and also maybe, you know, we just start doing a concert in front of every gathering. What do you guys think about this? Start with Dell. Dell Sigh, brought to you by Drange Penguin.
Outside of any particulars about this actual issue, the fact that this has been the center of media and national attention for going on a month now is utterly ridiculous. That this, out of everything that's going on in America and the world, that this is what has maintained our attention as a country, and what the media continues to push, shove down our throats. That's mind blowing, and does not speak well for the future of our nation.
Are you that surprised, considering we have Donald Trump Republican candidate?
It's just one more thing, you know. Like, I just want to find a silver lining or something, some hope to hold on to, but it's not.
There's none.
I keep getting, like, instead of, like, just not getting that hope, I feel like they're actively being like, no, 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 this is not the way it is. This is the way it is. You know, we're freaking morons and we care about stupid, inane bullcrap, and we're going to put everything we have into, all our energy into fighting about this dumb problem that's not going to get solved, and making a lot of money off of it. But I think that it's the same level of, like, as, like, flag burning or whatever. Like, everybody, that's one of the wonderful things about this nation, is you can say and believe and act, you know, in pretty much however you want, as long as you're not directly harming another person. And the police don't have a choice. Pledge that they make is to serve and protect the nation. Like, the police and the military, they don't have a choice. Like, they've already made the choice to serve and protect the rights of every individual, not just those who they agree with. And all of this nonsense and this rhetoric is completely inane, and there shouldn't even be an argument. Like, there shouldn't be an argument. Like, let people have their opinions about it, but the facts that when it comes down to is, as soon as some police union stood up and said that they were going to do that or not do that, the government should have stepped in and been like, no, that's not even an option. You have to do it, and shut it down. Like,
yeah, it's like the way the president back in the 80s, I don't know, I was an infant during this time, like didn't he force him back into, he broke the strike up, he forced him back into work, right? I forget the details.
I don't really remember that. But
you were like 30 probably. Years old in the 80s, weren't you? Oh, God,
yeah, I was. I've lost too much memory at this point.
Bradley, do you have any hot sports opinions there in Arkansas?
I don't. I mean, nothing that deviates from what Del said. I wish that I could say something that's more compelling, but it's. I mean, Del hit the nail on the head. It's a guy who is doing something very reasonable, and just trying to make a point about something that he feels personally is a social issue. And I feel confident saying that a lot of people feel like it's a significant social issue and needs attention. And it's like, a lot of the hateful, stupid people have given it much more legs than I think he could have hoped for, you know?
Yeah, I think Dexter said that he won. I mean, I think I don't know. This is where I get, so I guess, I mean, since you mostly agree with Dell here, What do you think is the next step here for him? Like, how long do you sit?
What's the next step?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's a tough nut just because I don't think it's actually going to resolve anything. And he's got a lot of football games at him. Even if he does it all year, at some point it's going to fizzle out. Or shit, I hope it'll fizzle out.
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said, yeah, it kind of loses its power after a while.
Not that I want less attention on it, but I just want... I want people to use their fucking brains, I think is, like, my biggest problem here. And again, and like, I think that people actively being so hateful about this is a perfect representation of them not using their brain. I don't know. I don't know how you get out of this because you don't want to stand at this point. You don't want to let the
just give up on it or let them win.
Yeah, you don't want to let the idiocracy think that it's won. But
I think he should just keep doing what he's doing, man. Like, people will get bored of it, but it's unfortunate that.
If you keep sitting.
Sorry, you're breaking up.
Season for the rest of his career.
What?
I guess he could keep kneeling for the rest of the season, for the rest of his career.
I think that's fine. If he wants to do that, he should be able to do that. And he has every right and should use his platform to promote the issues that he believes in. And he should continue to do that. And on a personal level, like the national attention may die down, but every new player that doesn't know why he's doing it, that comes on to his team or plays with him or against him, that sees him do it and asks him about it, he has a chance to express his belief to them and maybe change in a one-to-one sort of situation, change some viewpoints or expand some eyes views. The saddest thing or the worst thing about all this is that instead of turning our attention to, like, what is he doing? Like, why is he doing this? And making the discussion about the point that he's making. It's just about whether he should do it or shouldn't do it. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
all it's about whether he's...
like,
this respecting blind his, respecting the country.
Yeah. And it's not national. It's not patriotic. It's not patriotic to just say... well, this is the flag, and you must bow down to it because it's the flag, and we worship America. Like, you know, it's not the way that this like, country is supposed to be.
I don't feel like that's insanely distinct from religious radicalism either. I really don't. And I think part of the reason is because there's not, like, a very, like, well-differentiated line between nationalism and religion in this country. But I don't feel like it's a huge difference in that. And these are the same people who are so petrified of ISIS, you know?
Right.
And
it's kind of ironic.
A really weird parody.
Gina, you got any thoughts on this? Do you want to add?
No, I think y'all said it really well. Del made a very good point about, you know, the whole point of him being able to express himself, express his beliefs, and the fact that we can't ever have a constructive national conversation about things without it devolving into something ridiculous.
How long do you think he should do it? How long do you think it, like, has an effect? I see Del's point. I mostly agree
with
that.
Yeah, he should be able to do it as long as he wants to.
And well, they asked Megan Rapinoe, who also has done this, and, you know, she did it for the women's national team, national soccer team. And, you know, they were like, so how long do you plan to do this? It's like, you know, like, at a certain point.
Yeah, I mean, but again, isn't asking that question kind of detracting from the point of their statement? Like,
yeah.
Why are we talking about that? How many times are you going to do it? Will you be happy then? Can we actually just talk about.
When can we not? Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
Does this make you feel better or worse about the time that you didn't know the national anthem was playing and you were walking by?
A little bit better, because I felt really bad. Some guy shamed me. It's like, how dare you walk right now? Of course, I assume he had that accent, but I was just oblivious. We just showed up to the game, and I was just like trying to get to my seat. Didn't realize it was playing. And
I probably wouldn't stop.
He was all angry at me, and I was like, what the?
Yeah.
You just get scolded by a stranger?
I mean, I
was like, okay,
I've
my bad.
Like,
I wasn't even thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I always felt that it's a little weird that we do that. I never really liked the overpraise of the flag. Like, I mean, the flag's been getting bigger and fucking bigger and fucking bigger.
Oh,
like, they
my
cover,
God.
There was another flag in the shape of the United States. I mean, like, you know, it's kind of ridiculous. It reminds me a little bit about how the people kind of, they post the memes, kind of the really garish, ridiculous memes. But then they start, it goes from the ridiculous, like they're doing it ironically, like, haha, it is stupid. Look at.
And then it becomes serious.
Yeah, look at President Obama riding a bald eagle. Haha, isn't that stupid? But then they actually do it for serious.
And next we know we've got President Trump in an American flag suit.
Yeah, and you're like, what are we
on
doing?
On our money.
Yeah. But yeah, so. I never liked that. I never liked the militarism. I never liked the way that you can't ever criticize the military or else that you're a traitor. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, come on here. You know what I mean? We're veering too far over in the default praise. Like, you know what I mean? And I think it's bad. It's bad for the nation. If you cannot criticize.
Not be able to question anything.
Yeah, if you can't question anything. And I do think there are times, I think maybe. There was a point, like maybe on 9/11, that's not really the time. But I think 9/11 has got so conflated with the military, it's not even like, hey, let's stop and remember people that were murdered. You know, it's now let's stop and remember all the troops again. So we have like, you know, three Veterans Days now, even though it's like Veterans Day and it's, you know, Memorial Day. We have like every day is Memorial Day now. You know what I mean? And I think you take away the specialness of the particular day when you make it every day. Does that make sense?
Yeah. That's a problem in the church big time. And it's something that I've discussed a lot with my pastor at the church I'm working at now, is that it feels like every other week we have some sort of national patriotic holiday that we're compelled to remember because of the marriage between the country and church here for some reason. And people get mad if you don't play and have a whole huge to do. And it was like once a month it's almost once a month that we have something. Now 9/11 is thrown into the mix too. And you can't focus on what the message of the church should be when you're all the time remembering and thinking about our country and celebrating that, you know, and praying for that above all other countries in the world, you know,
Yeah, it
drives me insane.
Yeah, I think there should be more balance. I think there should be some educated and intellectual discourse, like, and some self reflection. Like, hey, you know what? Maybe America isn't so fucking great. Maybe we suck a little bit.
Or just because you're talking about something else doesn't mean it takes away from your love of your country.
Yeah. So there you go. Kneel it on down. You know what else is funny here? There's a lot of people that are like, you gotta kneel you gotta stand up, Colin Kaepernick. A lot of them that I saw were like Southern people. Weren't they just defending the other flag? Didn't they want the other flag? Right?
Right.
But shouldn't they be just kind of like, yeah, well, you know, that flag is fine. You can kneel on that. Yeah, you kneel on that flag is fine. Whatever. So that's my Southern joke of the day. Did you pick a movie for this, what you call it?
Yeah, I did. Thanks for asking. I am. Okay. So, the movie for this month, what date is it? Oh, yeah. It's the 19th, so.
Yeah, we have like 2 days left. Way to go,
good enough. Well, I've never watched this movie. Dang, I took away my page. But, Sling Blade.
Oh.
Have you guys seen this movie?
I've never watched it.
Neither have I.
I've so many memes and quotes from it. I should.
Apparently, it's amazing. Man. It was written by, directed by, starred in by Billy Bob Thornton.
I think this is the one that put him over the top, right? That allowed him to bang Angelina Jolie?
Just from pretty selecting much. It yep. and kind of browsing the plot, briefly. It's not about what I thought it was about, judging by the title.
What did you think it was
about? I don't know. I thought it was like a Western or something.
No, it was about like a slow dude or something like that.
Yeah, a guy who like maybe murdered his family and gets out of the psych ward. So, surprise! Yeah. Not a Western. That's the movie. There you go.
So that's the movie of this time period.
And that's on Netflix?
It is. It is on Netflix.
That I want to watch.
It's actually on Netflix.
It does mean like, oh God, every movie sucks.
So we have a week left in this month.
Can you get it done?
Week and a half. So watch it by next Monday.
Yeah, I think I can knock it out.
I think I can do it.
All right.
I think
it's not like you have anything else going on, Brad. You better watch it.
I mean, like you can watch it as you rock your kid.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, I gotta say that I feel productive when I'm being lazy now, and you know, I know we filled up these last few podcasts with baby talk, but so like Saturday, we got breakfast.
Talk about our lives.
Yeah, talk about lives, man. And then June's like, well, I'm gonna go run, and Aaron, do you want to hang out here with the kid? I was like, sure, no problem. I'll watch a little college football. It won't be a big deal, right? So Gina got stuck on errands for a long time, and so I was like, well, it's just me and the kid watching college football most of the day. And then, you know, by the time Gina got back, it was time to watch the game that I wanted to watch, not just the ones that I was filling time doing. And so then it ended up that I watched a lot of college football, but yet I felt
so it was
productive.
A great day for you.
Yeah, I was like, you know, somebody asked, I'm like, I spent time with my kid today.
Your dreams came true.
Yeah.
We hung out. You know, I sang her songs, we played, and I watched a lot of college football, you know? There you go. I feel productive. You can do the same.
Just have a kid.
Well, I mean, people do that. They're like, oh, well, I got to stay home with the kid and whatever. But there you go.
So what else is new, guys?
What else is new? Brought to you by Deranged Penguin.
Not a lot. I still am Brad. The water, some water pipe, main pipe broke at the house here.
Did it flood?
No, but it leaked out for like a whole day outside in their yard, and we may have to like tear up the house to find the leak and fix it.
Was it a poop pipe?
No, thank goodness. It is incoming water, not outgoing water.
That's
yay.
I guess, what was my... Oh,
your question.
See, stuff like that really makes me not want to buy a house.
Like, I know. Like, it sounds like a lot of work.
There's all
shit
that
happens, man.
Yeah, I need, like, here, if something happens, I'm like, you know, y'all better fix that. We'll move. Bye. We're done. And we just leave, right? But if it happens to your shit, you're like, well, fuck. Guess I got to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And that
exactly.
just seems. Yeah. That just
and
seems.
Pay
like,
out the wazoo
awful.
To fix
that
it.
Just seems. Terrible.
I agree to some extent. I've been, yeah.
Yeah. Brad.
Pros and cons, right?
Brad, you got a castle, a couple houses, a village that all belong to you. How do you deal with it?
Yep. Well, you hire out a lot of stuff. I'm kidding. I wish I could hire out stuff. No, I mean, you get pissed off about it and you. cuss and you yell and you
and
sometimes break some of your fingers from punching the wall because it's so upsetting. And you get yelled at by everyone in your family sometimes when stuff goes so poorly that it really interferes with your quality of life.
Nice.
Oh yeah, I forgot like your toilet flooded your house out, right? I remember that.
Oh yeah.
There's this much like a giant dump upstairs. Murdered the whole house. That's
right.
Remember that.
It's like $60,000 worth of damage.
God, that's like an Escalade. You know what I mean? Like, you could have got an Escalade.
Instead. Yeah. Why didn't Brad think of that?
You could have been riding real
no,
nice.
No, but I mean, you weigh that against the possibility of not making money, but just saving some of your money on a monthly basis, really? Which is
you know how many
nice.
Headaches I've had like that? Zero. If somebody murders the toilet here, I'm just like, well, guess I'm moving. And that's all the headache is just stuffing into you. I moved into that place. Then I'm done. So
that's
maybe
a headache, though.
Maybe $3,000.
Yeah, you act like moving's always the solution, yeah, well, too.
$3,000, right, is also much less than $60,000. You also had to move to a hotel for a while your house is being de-pooped, right?
Well, yeah, but the insurance company covered that.
That was
the de-pooping?
The de-pooping.
Yeah, the de-poop.
You had to pay the insurance, right? You know, you had to do the whole thing.
Over here.
Just sounds.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a $500 deductible or something.
No, I mean, like, but you're paying for insurance, though, right? Well, how much does that cost?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, it's like
part of the cost of ownership.
You pay for insurance too. You just don't know it.
No, we do pay for insurance here. I mean, renters insurance. I know they build that into price, but it's still, you know.
Right. I mean, that's like, fine. How much do you pay a month for your place? Like $1,500 a month or something. It doesn't matter.
As Del would say, Google it.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like the question is.
That is the question.
Are you interested in putting up with a little bit of extra shit? It's just like any other job. Like, do you want to be a manager? Do you want to be a manager? That means putting up with extra shit to make more money.
Yeah, but I mean, just to shorten this whole conversation that we're going to have so we don't have it, is that there is a calculus that is to be made. It's not definitely one is better than the other, always. Depends on your circumstances.
Oh, no.
Depends on the area. But I like to poke Brad about it because Brad is the resident on the podcast, homeowner, castle owner, mansion owner. And so, you know, I like to make him feel like every decision that he's made in his life is wrong or probably wrong. So I feel like I've done so far. Yeah. Yes, everybody.
So far.
Shouldn't buy the house you're going to buy. It was the wrong one.
I will say,
the further we get from the poop situation, it's even more funny.
Yeah, it is. I think it's much easier to buy a house this time around than it was my first time around. I mean,
that is very much easier,
like anything else in life. The more you do it, the easier it is.
Now, you bought and sold
homes. The first home buying experience was fucking terrible.
Huh?
The first time you buy a home is terrible. It's so exhausting.
It wasn't that bad. Oh no. I think we got a really good.
Dang, really good.
But it wasn't worst home buyer ever. Like, I don't know, man. Yeah, I bought and sold two houses. And it never, I don't know, man. The thing is that I never lived in the house that I bought, that we bought, long enough to like be able to actually make money. We just got our money back from the house,
right?
You know, and so to me, I've never seen any benefit of like owning a home. Once I figure out where I'm going to be, and I feel like I'm 90% sure I'm going to be there for like 10 years, I'll probably look into buying a house. But man, life is just too mobile anymore, you know? Like my brother has moved within 3 years. Since he's owned his house, he's never made money on owning a home. And every time he says he's not going to do it, but every time he gets this, like, we all get this gleam in our eye. We're like, well, man, but I'm just throwing my money away renting a house. You're not really throwing your money away.
You're not.
Like, that's a misnomer. That may have been true 20 or 30 years ago, but it's not true anymore.
It's not.
And the paradigm shift just hasn't really happened of like people thinking that way. So we'll see. I mean, I'm not against owning a home. I just don't see a point right now. Like, I haven't planted my feet, you know, where I'm going to like try and grow roots or whatever. So
I think there's a whole lot of intelligent conversation about this. And they basically say, that it depends on your circumstances, where you are. And like, I think the rent to, was it the rental ratio? It's basically like, stay in a place like a cheaper place, that the houses are so cheap that you might as well buy them. But like in New York, renting is a better deal than buying, because unless you have $3-4 million that you want to shell out.
Right.
Yeah. So those are the extreme examples. Everywhere in between, it really depends. You know, if you're rolling in the dough, like our friend Bradley here, who's a millionaire, like 100 times over, or whatever. Baron Von Bread, then you just buy it. You buy Kessler too. It's fine. It's fine. It's no big deal. He does
it. Get a couple.
Then you play Where Am I Staying Tonight? That's always a fun game.
Yeah. It's fantastic. It's so much fun. It's the most fun.
But yeah, I think Dell and Gina and I have kind of the same feeling about it, that if you're in a place that you want to be, that's the most important, like the location, you know? Like, you want to be in this town. Too many people I know, they're like, yeah, this is, I just want a house. Doesn't matter where, house, just anywhere. Just put it anywhere, I'll be there. It'll be my house. You're like, you know, this is like 4 years away from anywhere, 4 light years away. I'm like, yeah, but it's my house. I'm like, okay, all right. I won't be by because it's going to, you know.
Ever.
Yeah. You know, it's always fun to play. Were you going to say something, Gina? It looked like you were about to say something twice before your kid coughed in your face.
Yeah, a long time ago. We kind of moved on. I was just going to ask what the age of the houses that you guys have purchased were, and if that factored into the difficulty of the home buying or owning experience.
Yeah, how old was that castle?
So.
What?
How old
is the one? Yeah. My houses?
Yeah.
Both, it just sounds so funny the way you say it. Yeah, the houses I bought.
One was built, I don't know, probably in the 90s. Actually, they were probably both built in the 90s. But one was like a brand, no, one was probably newer. One was like 99 or 2000 probably, like, because it was like brand new subdivision. And then the other one was mid-90s and was like a little bit nicer, like brick, like all brick and stuff. The first one was like vinyl siding and like definitely like prefab, you know.
Yeah.
Just sort of a bunch of houses that look exactly like on the street, but
little boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brad, you bought like some old classic home or something like that, right?
Yeah. They were both pretty much the same age. It was like the early 20s or something like that.
Those are the ones everybody wants, but then you got to like fix them up because everybody in the 20s was 5'4".
Did you have to do a lot of repairs, or were there any like renovations done before you purchased them or anything like that?
I bought both of them after somebody else had tuned them up.
Yeah, I think
that's the way to do it.
Like, I don't have, and that I'm not really in the mood to acquire the skills to renovate at home. You know what I mean?
It's really not that hard.
Yeah, I mean, but I watch HGTV, but what I don't want to happen is that, like, you know, I'm like, well, you know, I got like $35,000 to build me the super cool room or update this kitchen. And you start knocking it down. Next thing you know, you have a monster living in there or something like that. And like, well, it turns out this was made.
And you got to get homes on homes to come. Yeah, and hit on your wife.
Right. Like, actually, they had somebody fix it up, but they fucked it up. And turns out if you knocked in the right place, you'd fall through the earth. So, sorry.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Well, and that's part of the problem you have with somebody else fixing your shit up. Like, my first house that they fixed up, it was fine. The second house, it was really awesome when we moved in. But you could tell by the time we moved out 3 years later, one of those walls was starting to sag pretty badly. Eventually, they're going to have to get a structural engineer in there. I mean,
yeah,
I don't think it's going to be like a catastrophic problem, but something probably just needs to be like bolstered in the structure of the house eventually, you know?
And I feel like that's kind of an expenditure that people don't want to make. Everybody wants to make a pretty room. You don't want to spend money to bolster the structure. Well, you do want to, but nobody is excited about it. Like, oh man, I got a new support beam in there. It costs $25,000. Yeah. You're like, well, okay.
Yeah.
So there's a neighborhood around. There's a neighborhood like this in every city, especially in the inner city where all the white people now are moving. They're like, oh no, brown, black people are coming to get us in the suburbs. Let's move back. So inner rings of cities getting gentrified and whatnot. And so people are buying these old homes, like, you know, like you said, the 20s, 30s, big stately homes that once housed the city's elite.
I love those places, yeah, man.
Fell into disrepair. You know, now you can get them pretty cheap.
Yeah, they 40, look awesome.
50 grand. And then, you know, they're sprucing them up, selling for like $700,000, right? It's kind of what's happening. And I'm like, you know, it'd be great, but I know nothing about those things. So
doesn't matter. Yeah. If you can get one for $40,000, just buy the fucking thing.
Well, yeah. Now they're not going for $40,000. Now that everybody's in there, now people are holding on. They're like, I know I can get probably $200,000-$300,000 for my shitty, you know, basically shack. Yeah. And it goes up from there. So people, I think one guy was trying to sell it for like $300,000 or whatever. Long story short, my point is that if I were going to buy one of those, I'd even pay a premium for a really well-renovated place. And I wouldn't want to do it myself. Like, I get in there, get it cheap, and I do it myself.
So you want it move-in ready?
Yeah, move-in ready.
Open concept.
Yeah, open concept.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but that costs a lot of fucking money, man.
Yeah, but my expertise is not in, you know, like, I wouldn't be able to save a buck to do it myself. I'd fuck it up, probably. I'd have the leaning wall, you know?
Yeah, that's what it would be. But part of the good thing about you owning the shack is that you can actually hire people who do know what they're doing.
Yeah, but then
instead of the guy who knew as much as you, but he slapped a nice coat of paint on it and sold it to you at a premium.
Well, yeah, I mean,
which happens.
I feel like I'm running a risk either way. Like, either I got to get a guy to look in there and make sure it's all right.
Yeah. Or someone's going to poke your eye out.
I got to spend to the guy poking my eye out to make it right, to get to that point. Like, I don't know either way. So, you know, if I got to roll the dice, I guess I'd rather.
We'll go into home buying ready to lose our eyesight is what we're saying.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
We got actually like $200,000 here that we're just going to give them away, basically.
Yeah, it's right here.
He said he had to hand it to somebody.
Sorry, kid. You're not going to any college. Neither are your grandchildren. Yeah, so, you know, whatever, man. We're all just renting on this world anyway, man, you know?
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
Oof.
Death commentary brought to you by Deranged Penguin.
Yep.
So, as we wrap this up, as we near the end of our lives and the show.
Then what?
I don't know. Does anybody else want to spout anything?
I'm good.
Unrelated.
Just looking forward to Spring Blade.
Heck yeah.
Del's excited about good. Sleep. Look at him. He's like, pillow. Tenet real good.
I think we all are.
Yeah.
Everybody except for our little guest here.
Yeah, she's not. She's like, it's time to wake up.
She ain't thinking about it.
That's part of time.
Can't wait.
Put my pants so I can get a change of outfit. Whoop, 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 whoop. I'm not really that sleepy. I'm going to probably stay up a little bit.
You look sleepy. Your eye's twitching.
Twitchy eye. You know, when I get sleepy, my left eye does kind of close a little bit. I do look a little bit like Forrest Whitaker.
A little bit.
Yeah. when you get sleepy, does one of your eyes close a little bit?
No, mine just usually get extremely bloodshot.
Yeah. Del?
What's your sleepy look?
That. Oh, I like that right there. I see.
Huh?
He gets little beady eyes and he is not really paying attention. Brad, what do you look like when you're sleepy?
For a long time or like acutely now?
Yeah, well, because I mean, like.
I get black circles under my eyes.
Yeah, you can see them. Jeez. Why did he put on makeup all of a sudden? Yeah, you can kind of sleep. It always reminds me of that. What was that Porky Pig? Elmer Fudd? When he's really trying to sleep and then somebody's playing stuff outside and his eyes are all dark and black and he just trying to sleep. I felt like that sometimes.
Yeah.
I feel you, Porky.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for